Well, hello everybody and welcome to the Nash Chat. Today I am so excited to be talking with Hillary and Amanda from Whole Motherhood Podcast. Hey girls.
Hey.
So you all have a very fun podcast that you are so sweet to invite me on back in the fall. And so in a way you all inspire me to do this. So thank you for the inspiration.
That's so sweet.
That's well, cool. We are excited about your podcast.
Thanks for having us. This is
so
fun.
So tell us both a little bit about yourselves. Amanda, we'll let you go first.
Okay. So I'm Amanda Phillips. I live in Nashville and have been here, I guess, let's see, 16 years this year it'll be. So I kind of feel a little bit like a native now. I'm a mom to two, married now for 11 and a half years.
It goes by so fast, doesn't it?
It goes by so fast. Yeah. I think when you were on our podcast last fall, we were talking about school age kids, and that was a whole new world for me because I have now a kindergartner and an almost 4-year-old. So that's crazy that we are now in school age world.
Yes.
So yeah, I am in business management is what my work is. I do some social media consulting as well. And Hillary and I have been doing a podcast now for over a year, and we love what we get to do. We get to talk to other moms like you and, talk about that intersection between work and mothering.
Yes. All right, Hillary.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. I'm Hillary Barnett. I've been in Nashville for about 16 years now, I think. Did I say 16?
Whoa, we both have been in Nashville 16 years.
I think if the math is right, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe 15. I don't know. The math is tricky. But we've been here a long time. My husband and I have been married for 16 years. No, the 16. That can't be right. Then.
No.
Maybe 13. Anyway.
I feel like such a newbie, you know, only been here for a little over 3 years. I'm like, blah, blah, next to 16. Yeah.
you came here when it started to get a lot more fun.
Yeah.
So you came at the right time. When we first moved here, there was one, I'm not that there was only one restaurant, but there was one like fancy restaurant. Remember Zola?
Yes.
Zola was this one. It was up at West End.
Oh, we went there for all of our special nights.
Yeah.
Like our date nights.
Because it was the only place to go. So, and now there's about a million. I have a running list, you know, I can't keep up with, but I've been here for a long time either way. Two kids, 7 and 4. One is at Granbury Elementary. She's in first grade and one's in preschool. And I've been doing digital marketing for about 9 years now, social media consulting, content marketing, and now whole motherhood. So I'm having a blast.
Very cool. And you, your podcast was called The New Mystique, and now it has a new name, Whole Motherhood. What kind of made the switch to a different name?
Yeah, The New Mystique was originally taken from a book that I'd read that I really enjoyed. And I realized that after we'd spent a year talking to moms about the journey that they were on with mothering and working, we realized that really what we were talking about was mothering from a place of wholeness and kind of owning our own stories as mothers, owning our own journeys, and really whether we were working full-time, part-time, or not at all, just wanting to make mothers feel more included in that conversation.
Right, which is so important because I think to moms already, whether you work or you don't, you're already juggling so many different things. And so, and it can be isolating. And so it's good to have a place to kind of feel like you can connect, even if you're driving down the road, listening to a podcast or you're folding the laundry, just to feel like I'm not the only one in this.
Absolutely. Yeah, we love getting to talk to so many wonderful moms and we're just getting started, so.
Well, that is so inspiring, and I love what you all are doing and the ways that you're connecting with moms and encouraging them as well. Now, how did the two of you come together and start this project?
Funny story. We kind of knew each other through mutual friends, but we started getting to talking to each other about 2 years ago, like a year and a half ago, at a birthday party where my son actually broke his leg.
Oh, no.
It was a trampoline
it's a memorable
park.
Day.
It was a memorable day for me. And that's when both of us kind of talked like, what do you do? Oh, I kind of am doing the same thing business-wise. We should get together and have coffee. And from there, in between follow-up doctor's appointments for my son's leg, we started brainstorming about a podcast. Hillary kind of had already created this community online with like a website and blog, and I guess some social media at that point already, but not the podcast part. And so she had kind of the vision for it and said, I need a co-host if that's something you're interested in. And I guess that's how we got connected. And we've kind of become, our lives look very similar because our children are literally at the same schools in the same class. Our youngest ones are. We live within a mile of each other and we've wondered where each other has been the past 12 or 15 years we've lived in Nashville.
Yeah, it's like we've already known. Feels like we've known each other for years already.
So. That's right.
It's, you know, finding new friends as an adult is hard. And so you can find them in such unexpected places and times, you know, a day that could have been, or I'm sure that was very stressful for you, kind of turned into something really cool and awesome and a great friendship.
That's right.
I told Amanda the other day, I said, I wasn't planning on making any new friends in this season of my life. But you me. So thank you.
Well, it looks like it's worked out well for you ladies.
Mm-hmm.
So the big theme of your podcast is motherhood, working moms coming together. I recently had a lady reach out to me. She's a brand new mom. She's about to, go back to work here in a few weeks. And she was looking for a place to connect and, you know, just again, to have some camaraderie. What are some of the biggest tips you would give to a brand new mom who is headed back to work?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I know it feels like yesterday having babies and kind of making that decision on what work is going to look like. It also feels like it was 1600 years ago. So I remember it all being in the moment, it feeling like the biggest, hugest thing I was about to face. You know, I don't even know if hugest isn't a word.
It makes sense to me.
It felt like this is like the biggest crisis of my life. And I remember I didn't actually have to put my child in full-time daycare. But I had to, you know, be away from him, especially my first kid, like first kid issues. Everything is so new and different. And I think it's just, you have to get uncomfortable and you have to do things even when you're afraid to do it, or scared or concerned or worried, kind of just make that leap. I don't know with my first kid, if I had like this really awesome crew of other moms that were kind of in the same boat as me. I think when it came after the first year of having a kid, I feel like I created a community of, what do you do about this? And how about this? And oh my goodness, has your kid have this problem? You know, all of those crazy concerned things that you have come up. So I guess I wish I would have, with my first kid and entering back into the workplace, I wish I would have reached out and been more not looking like I had it all together and pretended like I knew what I was doing all the time, but actually said, I need help. I have no idea what I'm doing. Can somebody, you know, can I have a confidant? Can someone talk to me? I have an awesome, supportive husband, of course. So that went very far. But as some people say, I can't remember, you know, your husband's not your girlfriend. So you've got to have those girlfriends in your life who you can just ask the dumbest questions to about breast milk bags and pumping supplies and formula and bottles, you know, all the stuff, you know.
Definitely, because, you know, even as supportive and encouraging as the guys are, sometimes they just do not understand what you're going through and the issues that you have. So you're so right. It's so important to have those girlfriends and people that you can ask those questions or just sit there and cry or vent, you know.
And I kind of look back at those moments early on fondly now. I mean, they were so stressful at the moment, of course. But when I go back and see like time pictures or videos, it's so sweet, you know, and it's kind of like, oh, it was really sweet at that early time. It was very hard, of course, but it was really sweet too. Mm-hmm.
You all, both of you are kind of on the cusp of where I am. You know, both of my kids are in school this year. My son's in third grade and my daughter's in kindergarten. And so it definitely does feel like so long ago when they were tiny and they were babies, and you do think, wow, you know, I literally blinked and now we're in a whole new chapter of parenting and motherhood. Will both of your younger go to school next year, or do they have another year?
We got one more year, 2020, August 2020.
My husband may have asked me, is there any way to get her into kindergarten this fall? But that, I think that question even illustrates how torn you always feel when they're little.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's this part of me that's like, yeah, let's get her into kindergarten. Let's get this show on the road. Then there's this other part of me that's like, I know how quick this has gone. I know how quick this next year will go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sacrifice that time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always that constant tension between what you want to accomplish in your work life and how much time you want to spend with your kids. And I think that's the whole reason we started the podcast.
Absolutely.
Because that tension is always there. And even when they're in school, that tension shifts, but it's still present, even in the after hours and the evenings, because you realize how little time you have with them now that they are in school. And so, yeah, I think I would echo your advice, Amanda. Just be aggressive about finding your girl tribe, even if it's one person.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it alone, and don't just do it on Facebook. You know, really one person.
Yeah, that's good.
Not that there can't be support there, but try to get face-to-face with people and in front of them and have coffee and do what you can to feel like you're not on your own.
Another tip that I wish I had done, everything's hindsight, you know, so now we can say we can do these things now that we know. But find moments for yourself where, like, make that list of things that make you really happy for just being, you know, in a moment, because you're going to be sleep deprived. You're going to have the stress of going back to work. You're going to have the stress of taking care of a kid and house and all of the things. And find those like 4 or 5 or 2 or 3 or 20 things. If it's getting a pedicure, or if it's just taking a hot bath, or if it's reading a book, but finding some list of things that when you need something to make you feel good as just being a woman or being a human.
Yeah.
And being a, you know, employee or a mom, but have that list, because sometimes we're so brain foggy and we don't know what we want. If we have a list, we can at least go to that list and say, I need to go find a happy bookstore and walk around mindlessly for 45 minutes. And that might kind of take away those blues for the moment, because we get so on this cycle of the things we have to get done that sometimes we forget we need to have some little happy personal self. Some people call it self-care.
that's a thing these days.
That is a thing. It's fine. It doesn't have to be, you know, expensive or big. It could just be, you know, having a coffee shop time where you're not doing work, but you're just face-to-face with a friend and having, you know, vulnerable conversations. Like, that could be on the list as well.
Yeah, or definitely like go for a walk, go, you know, go to a pet's humane society and go pet some dogs or kitties, although that might talk you into getting one and may add more to your plate. But
that's what I've been doing that for a few years.
I have puppies on the brain, so we have 2 dogs and a cat, so definitely can't get any more, but they're just so sweet and cuddly and kind of make up, you know, for that missing that baby phase, you
know. I am definitely feeling that right now, Dawn. Like, I want a puppy so bad, and I know it's because my kids don't cuddle me anymore.
Yes.
It's so weird. I know I don't want any more kids, but I need something that will just sit in my lap and let me pet it.
You know? I know. I mean, is that so hard to ask, right?
It's too much to ask, you know?
Right. Well, speaking of babies, and, you know, we've kind of touched on older, you know, school age kiddos, do you think it's easier to balance working when they're tiny, when they're infants, babies, or when they're in school age.
Is it? Okay, you go first then. School.
No doubt, school. I think, there are obviously reasons, but I think
it's a hard one.
Most women in the world don't go back to work right away.
That's true.
American women are pretty unique in that we're mostly either, not all of us, but a lot of us are going back to work pretty early on.
4 weeks, 6 weeks.
And so I think school age, there's still a lot to juggle and there's a lot of needs, but they look different. For me, at least personally, the physical demands of an infant far outweighed the mental. And so I think I can feel the mental demands better now as a school age mom, just because I have that time and that space. But I do think when you have one infant, you kind of take for granted, you think, I have this one child and I've got nap times and what am I going to do? Then you have another one and you realize I have absolutely no time. Mm-hmm. and then if you keep adding on, I think there's just a point where you're like, I don't have any time ever. I'm negative on time, you know?
Right. At least when you have the school day, you have, okay, I've got from 9 to 3 or whatever to get things done. But I don't know if it's just me, but the school day seems to fly by so fast.
Yes, absolutely. The thing that the school day is not a work day. It's not in that 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock hour. I have to really work on my mental state during this. Because it's hard. That shift is tricky. And I have to think, I have to be actively grateful and present during those 2 hours because my brain is in work mode.
Disconnect.
So how do you just shift gears? Mm-hmm. And that is a challenge.
Right. And especially for me, like if I am not completely finished with something that I'm working on, but yet it's time for the kids to get off the bus, especially I work from home, it's hard to be like, okay, I've got to put that aside, give them all my focus. They've been at school all day and I want to just focus on them right now. Yeah, just turning off that work mode and switching gears can be tough.
For sure. I think I would say the same thing. I don't have both kids in school yet, but the sleep deprivation of babies is like a game changer. Mm-hmm. I mean, people, I just feel so sorry for them who have babies because it's just so tough. I mean, I have to have sleep. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very important. So I guess I would say I'm looking forward to that 2020 school year whenever I have a kindergartner and a second grader, because that will be a game changer, I think.
It really is. I think for me though, my kiddos are a little bit harder to me at this age than when they were babies, outside of the, not sleeping and this or that, but it's just a harder, whereas when they're crying as a toddler, it's usually because something is wrong or they're hungry or need a nap. But when they're fussy as a third grader, it's a different issue. It's more of their heart and it's not an easy fix sometimes. So yeah, I'm definitely thankful for the time that they are at school and I can kind of regroup and get ready for that in the afternoons.
I did just read an article. I put it in a link in our newsletter called The Relentlessness of Modern Parenting and how our expectations and standards for how we engage with our children, even after school, is astronomically higher than even the generation before us was. Mm-hmm. I don't know any other way. And I want to engage with my children. But there are days when I think, this is a nice day, this is positive, but here for several weeks, where I just want to let them go and run and play. I don't necessarily need to be in their face to go, let's have a heart-to-heart conversation about your day and tell me every detail of what you did, So it's like, I think too, our expectations sometimes of how we have to parent, even after school hours, can be a little bit crazy of what we can give, of what we can give emotionally or mentally. Mm-hmm. That's why I love park days after school, because they love to run wild.
You do that really well.
They get their willies out, they get their jiggles out, or whatever you want to call it, and I'm there, I'm with them, I'm in their mm-hmm. space, but I'm not necessarily having to be entertaining them. Yes. That's the idea, is mm-hmm. I don't think kids need to be entertained. They can entertain themselves if we let them.
Yeah, And we had on our podcast recently some professionals in counseling with kids, and they talked about,
which I love, David and Sissy. That's great that you guys had them on.
Yeah. Boys and girls, they're awesome, awesome resource. But David Thomas, he talked about how after school, the worst thing you can say to your kid is, "How was your day?"
My daughter was mad at me. She goes, "Don't say that to me."
Because it doesn't mean anything positive, because they have been so, not restricted all day, but they've had to obey and perform and be on their best behavior all day long at school. They don't need another drill. They just need free time, free play. They need to go, he said, make sure you feed your boy a snack and make him happy. Like, make, just give them some happy, and it really does make a difference, I think, when they just are able to come home and just decompress on their own, do a Lego set, mess up the playroom, like whatever they want. I usually encourage them to kind of just go and do that, not necessarily connected to me, but I want them to kind of just decompress, is I guess the best word.
Yeah,
absolutely. I know my kids are so hungry when they get home from school. Like, they're come in, they go straight to the pantry. They're like, "What can we have?" And so I found by having, you know, somewhat of a hearty, healthy snack, kind of, you know, if it's not ready, at least I have kind of a plan of this is what we're going to do. That's a good way to get the afternoon started, because they're tired and they can be grumpy because they have, they've been, you know, and I think especially for boys too, they're having to sit all day and they get such a short time to get out and run around and play. And that's why I'm so excited for the weather to clear up and warm up so that we can get outside more.
Because come on, Nashville, come on.
Come on, guys.
We need it.
On Monday, on President's Day, I took my kids on a 2-mile hike in 40 degrees. Cause that's how desperate I was to just go outside.
Just do something.
We were all freezing, but I was like, we're going to do this. We have to be outside. We're all going to go crazy.
I love that picture you posted. That was so cute with a tree too. We did a little staycation over President's Day weekend, which we don't usually, you know, go all out for President's Day weekend, but it just so happened that we had the opportunity and we went bowling and then we went to Topgolf. And then when we got home, my son was like, "Okay, what can we do now?" And I'm like, "No, you know, you may, mommy has, like, we've done it, you know, we've played, we've done all kinds of stuff. Now it's time just to kind of like relax and enjoy yourself. Go into your room, do Legos." What are some ways that your kiddos kind of entertain themselves? Because I feel sometimes it's a hard one with a child who wants to, he always wants somebody to play with him, or, you know, shoot the basketball with him or throw a football. And sometimes I just have to encourage him, you know, to do things on his own.
We have my son's very into Legos right now. So we have all of his box sets of Legos. So that's definitely a good 30 minutes. And then this is, might not be a good one. I got a gift for Christmas that was a box, I think, of like 30 or 40 Sharpies, like all different colored Sharpies, which sounds like this is the worst thing. But they love coloring with those Sharpies. I have no idea why. We have had one incident with a white Sharpie. And other than that, I'm usually in the room with them, but I'm kind of doing my work and they're doing their work is kind of what we do. But they could spend solid 30 minutes coloring with those Sharpies. So I think as long as they're supervised, it's working.
Well, that's a good tip. I'm going to add this to my Amazon cart.
Yeah, it's like a kit that has these posters, kind of like cardboard, that you can draw on those with the Sharpies. Like, it comes with a little bit of already the artwork, but they just use their coloring books. They, I mean, we have them, we have these coloring pages all over the house. It's ridiculous. I love it.
We have touched on social media before when I was on your show also. The pressure that moms face, we already face it, whether you're on social media or not, but how do you think social media has played a role to feel like you have to look perfect, you have to be perfect, and how are some ways we can kind of step away from that perfection?
Yeah, I think it's tricky sometimes to disconnect. And I know for me personally, I've actually deactivated my Twitter account. Just, you know, I've loved Twitter for a very long time, but it just wasn't giving me life anymore. And I think for some of us who are in certain professions, the opportunity to deactivate really isn't there. And so,
right,
you know, for example, with what you're doing with National Mom, that's part of your business, you know. So how I think for me personally, I try to separate out business and personal very much. I think the way the algorithms have changed is really geared more toward businesses, honestly. You know, I'm not necessarily going in and seeing my friends' updates anymore because
sure,
they may have been hidden from me already anyway. But I think just owning your own story and being willing to be honest, but even that has kind of become a commodity, I think, on social media. Mm. So, you know, just deciding what's giving you life. And if you're logging on and it's making you feel terrible about your life, then just don't check it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just take a step back and breathe. And I think I try to be really cognizant of when I'm absorbing my experiences and when I'm thinking about ways to post about them. And I have to find limits around that.
Mm-hmm.
And if I didn't post about it, did I actually enjoy it? Or is this something that I'm fully present and experiencing, or experiencing it through a story that I'm posting about it?
Right.
There's a lot of temptation, you know, even, for example, over this past weekend, we did all kinds of really fun stuff that nobody knows about except my good friends. And I didn't share it. And I wanted to.
I'm on that track right now, I feel.
Yeah.
It seems like I've gone another direction where some people might be like oversharing to some degree. And I'd rather kind of, if you kind of want to know what's going on in my life, you have to be in a room with me to kind of know what's going on. I was definitely, 2019 was like my year of like reassessing the social media and the amount of it I was consuming and that I was putting out, you know. There's also this kind of, I'm becoming more aware and I'm listening to some things where we are sharing about our children without their permission.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And there's some level of that. I mean, I would never say something on social media that would be embarrassing or anything like that. But I have the occasional, somebody will come up to my kids at church and be, I saw you won that Pinewood Derby trophy. You got second place. And Jack will be, how did you know that? You know, and it kind of makes me go, ooh, like I'm doing this because of lots of reasons. Like I want a highlight reel because I don't do, you know, scrapbooks or baby books or like social media is my archive of family fun. And, you know, that's what I want to make it. You know, I don't want to make it all of my horrible days, of course, you know, but I want it to be, you know, a memory that I can share. And also, we don't have any family here. All of our family is spread across the country.
Right.
And so it's my way of communicating and then seeing. But I mean, I could also just send them a text message of a picture as well. Like there's other ways to do it than like blasting it on the internet, you know. So I've kind of had to step back and just kind of assess the purpose behind why I'm, you know, sharing something on social media. And literally, I think I'm more like you. I have done less and less posting when it comes to like personal family stuff. Like maybe when I'm with friends or work, I kind of maybe am highlighting that more social media wise than my actual children.
Yeah.
I think it just has to be those little moments of, okay, I'm going to, you know, I'm driving the kids to school. I'm going to leave my phone at home, you know, or just kind of having those moments where you're not. Yeah, like you guys were talking too, like we did things over the weekend and it was just personal family kind of stuff that didn't have to be shared. It didn't need it to be shared. And so I think if we just kind of all reassess, like you said, and just think of why we're doing it, what the purpose behind it is, and just kind of rein it in a little bit.
Yeah, and I think it's when I separate business and personal, it makes it a lot easier for me. I mean, obviously with whole motherhood, that's different. It is me. But I think I'm creating content on a platform for a purpose that's just not just sharing or to share. You know, there's strategy behind it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like with what you're sharing, you're obviously, you want to share because you want people to know. And I never want you to stop sharing because I love everything you're sharing. It's wonderful.
Yeah, thanks. I have a personal account too, you know, that just more for like personal friends and family that I'll share kind of like, oh, this is, you know, my son just finished basketball season or whatever. But I don't, I rarely post on that, you know, now that I'm kind of focused on the blog and, you know, it's more like what's going on in Nashville, things to do, family kind of friendly things. So I try to be very strategic in what I'm posting about.
Big difference there, you know, big difference.
Well, ladies, we have just a few minutes left, and I would love to, speaking of family-friendly things in Nashville, what are some of your favorite places or recommendations if you had to tell somebody who maybe is visiting that you all like to do?
One of my favorite things is, of course, when it's better weather, but our family has a membership at Cheekwood.
Yes!
It's one of my... It has a lot of like sentimental value because it's where my husband proposed. It's where we brought our babies, like the first outings, you know, like when they were born. And we've just been going there for all of their, they have really great family focused events where around the holidays with Easter or fall or Christmas, they've got great summer programs for, you know, families during the midweek. You know, they do like a family concert on Thursday nights in the summer. So we just love, it's beautiful. It feels kind of like an oasis, you know, in Nashville. And it's just like one of our favorite happy places.
Yes, I totally agree. I love it. Every season I'm like, this is my favorite at Cheekwood. And then the next season rolls around, I'm like, no, this is my favorite. So they always, you're right, have something for families. And it is a good way to get outside and unplug a little bit because you could go on the nature trail and the outdoor train. Such a great place.
Yeah.
I think I would say the state parks have been, I've been falling more and more in love with Tennessee state parks the last couple of years. We were at Bledsoe Creek this past weekend, and it's up north of town. And just there's so much amazing history in the state. And the parks have these wonderful visitor centers that you can go in, and it's so cool because it's, you know, it's totally free and the kids can learn about Tennessee history. And it's not, you know, it's more in like small doses, but it's like, hey, look, there's, this is who settled this land 200 years ago. And they're like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. You know,
and great learning.
Yeah. And we spent some time at Fall Creek Falls last summer, and that wasn't such a fun weekend. They have a lodge there that they're redoing now, and they have a one. So if you're camping, but you kind of want to do a little more of a glamping type scenario, you don't want to cook your food every time. They have a wonderful buffet. It's super cheap. It's so yummy, overlooking the lake. So I've just been loving just kind of exploring kind of the outdoor Tennessee terrain. I don't know, just getting a little more familiar with the history and all that. So state park all day.
Very cool. Add the Fiery Gizzard Trail. It's close to Suwannee. We just kind of randomly ended up there one day, and it was one of my favorite trails that I've ever done. So pretty, so, you know, very kid friendly, except for there's like a couple steeper kind of places, but my kids were just fine to do it. So I'll add that one to your list.
Yeah, Suwannee's a great day trip too.
Yeah, we drove up and drove back the same day. So it was just, you know, you felt like you were going on an adventure, but it wasn't too far from home.
Totally.
Well, thank you, ladies, so much for coming on. It's always a pleasure to talk with you all. I wish that our circles were a little closer and I got to see you on more of a day-to-day basis, but we'll have to meet up for lunch or coffee soon.
We love following you. And
you are so sweet.
You have the best what's to do on the weekend.
Oh, every weekend. I'm like on the, yeah. I'm
find ready. Out what's happening.
Well, dun, dun, dun. Coming this week. Well, tell our listeners today where they can find you, your social media avenues, and how to access your podcast.
Yes, absolutely. Our podcast is anywhere you would be listening. So iTunes, Overcast, Stitcher, Spotify. It's Whole Motherhood. And then our website is wholemotherhood.co. And our Instagram handle is at Whole Motherhood.
Well, great. Well, thank you again so much. And we'll see you soon.
Thank you, Dawn. Have a good one.
Bye.
See ya.